Will you join me in a word of prayer? Father, it's good to know this morning that we serve a holy God that leads with love, leads with mercy, that leads with generosity. And God, sometimes when you're leading with those things, often they're in a battle with lies, with things that sound almost like those to try to confuse us, try to distract us. But God, I thank you also, you're patient. These next few moments, Father, I pray truth would emanate from your Holy Spirit into each of us. We thank you one more time for the beautiful coolness of the morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we begin a new sermon series titled Renewing Your Mind. Sounds easy, sounds simple, doesn't it, church? If it was that easy, if it was that simple, then why do we live in a time and a place where anxiety and depression are at all-time high? That the sale of anxiety or anti-anxiety medicine is at all-time high? Why do so many of us struggle with simply getting through the day thinking that there has to be more than there was this day, so maybe tomorrow will be a little bit more fulfilling? If God were to look you in eye to eye this morning, and I think He can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He asks you a simple question. Do you need renewal? I think most of us would say yes, but I believe if we were honest, we would say something like this: but how? But what needs to be different? What is God going to do in my life to see me be renewed? It is very interesting in Scripture. When you compare the Word of God to where renewal begins, it is so anti of where we are in a world. God's Word says we start with renewal in our minds. Every day across this country, there's a consumption of time, medication, and money spent on renewing our bodies. Isn't it interesting, the one thing that we are guaranteed to leave one day, we spend a lot of time and money and effort on? I guarantee you sometime today, maybe yesterday or tomorrow, some thought will cross your mind that says, I need to change. And then you can fill in the blank. I need to change the way I do. But I want you to know this morning, and over these next few weeks, because this is not a standalone sermon this morning. Okay? Well, I will always invite you back for the next Sunday. I can tell you right now that there's going to come a point this morning that I'm going to leave you with, but is he going to say more? Yeah, I am. It's just not going to be this morning. Because what I'm going to share with you, God has been stirring in my life for weeks now. So there's no way in the next few minutes that I'm going to be able to share everything that God has stirred on me. So I'm just going to premise a little bit today. We've got to have a starting point. And God is in the business of renewing, regardless of where you are in life, what you're struggling with, no matter if you're on the mountain or in the valley, God wants to renew us today. But He wants to begin with our minds. He wants to begin with how we are thinking about things. Don't overthink the thought process today. God wants to renew us regardless of our age, where we are, what stage of our life, what season of our life. God does want to do that. Let's embrace that truth. Let's don't fight it. Let's don't argue with it. Let's don't think it's for somebody else. Let's look ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm all in. I need renewal. No, I mean that literally. I need renewal. Okay? We use this phrase in our congregation a lot, being overdoing. You can't do if you're living out of a lie. You can't do all God has for you if you're drowning and being overwhelmed with lies, with thinking that, is there really anything left for me in this life? Is God finished with me? Have I gone finally too far where He's given up on me? So let's begin to engage God in a renewal process this morning, okay? So this is just part one. And Dusty asked me the other day, how many sermons are you going to do on this? I said, well, we're probably looking at 3 to 30. Oh, I just not. John, renewing your mind, part one. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Can you embrace that first truth with me? It's the Word of God. In the Word of God, did you know there's over 300 scriptures that mention the word think or thought or mind? Over 300. Do you think it's important to God? I think it's real important to God, the renewing of our minds. So let me read some familiar scriptures to you today. It says in 1 Peter 1:16, you've heard this, church, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples. Psalm says, he says, be still and know that I am God in Psalm 46:10. He says in Psalm 37:4-7, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I just didn't want to write it all out for you. And then Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, about what you'll eat or about what you drink, or about where you'll call home or what you'll drive or what you're going to wear today that may look good to impress somebody else. All those scriptures are common scriptures to everybody in this room probably. So you have to ask yourself, where's the disconnect between knowing what God's Word says and living out what God's Word says? Where's the disconnect? Where's the struggle? Those scriptures are not held back for a mountaintop experience. Or just when a time when you're maybe really low and someone quotes that just to remind you of God. These scriptures, like all scriptures, I believe, are meant to be a way of life. Some of you picked up the paper, some of you didn't. So I know some of you will probably forget most of what I say today, but there's going to be a few things over the next few weeks. You're going to say it, and if I have to come to your house to make sure you know it, okay? And here's number one. It's not point number one. It's number one. Ready? Your life is headed in the direction of your strongest thought. I'll say it again because I want it to sink in. Your life is headed in the direction of your strongest thought. My life, my feet will follow that which I think upon the most. You and I were built to be in relationship, in a loving relationship. In the garden before sin entered, God built Adam and Eve to be in a loving relationship, a perfect relationship, to be known and to know. To be known and to know. So how do these things begin to happen in our lives? How do we really change the way we think? Because see, it's connected this way. But a lot of times we have backwards thinking. There's an old term that would describe that better, but I better not say it, because it's on the internet and some of you might get upset. But it goes mind, brain, body. My feet doesn't go someplace without a thought I had first. My body does not have an emotion without a thought I've had first. When I was researching some of this stuff, I tried to figure out how many thoughts do you have a day? I'll summarize it this way, a bunch, a bunch. Now, of course, if you ask Kathy someday, she'd say, I'm not sure he's had a thought at all. Okay? All right, we'll make it a little better. Parents, have you ever wondered if your child's ever had one good thought? Any witnesses? Logan, you got anything? We give very little thought to our thoughts. Every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you and I are constantly thinking. It never shuts off. In fact, you know that adage you hear a lot in our culture today? He or she can't shut their brain off? Of course not. That's the way God created you. Are you trying to outthink God's creation? You and I can't do it. But our choice comes down to what do we think upon and how do we think? How do we respond to that which inundates us every day? It doesn't matter if you don't have a smartphone. It doesn't matter if you have an electronic device at all. You are still inundated with thoughts from other people every day. You're standing in line somewhere, Walmart, the store, whatever. The people around you that are speaking, as soon as you can hear their voice, that is pressed upon you, a thought. And that thought is impacting you. So you can imagine in our world of electronics how much that's impacting our thought life. So has God got a big task? God always had a big task, because you ever looked at yourself in the mirror? It was big from the moment of conception. But He's not too big. So we have to embrace a reality today is that it's mind, body, or mind, brain, body. So how are we going to renew our minds today? Let's look at point number one as a beginning today. To begin renewing our mind, let's take inventory of your thought life. It says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why do we spend so much time and energy and resources on renewing that which is wearing out? I'm not opposed to healthy living, by the way. I'm just trying to get you to realize, do you grasp how much our society spends on making our bodies look good? It's a whole bunch of money. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What do? We got to renew our mind. So let's take inventory of your thought life. I'll give you a few just to think about. How much of your thought life is based off worries, or how peaceful is your thought life? How worldly is your thought life? How eternal is your thought life? Fill in the blank for yourself. Be honest with yourself this morning. Is your thought life more negative or more positive? The battle in our mind that rages is this. It's as simple as this, I think, so often. So I'm trying to keep it really simple, and then we're going to kind of build off things for these next few weeks. A battle in our mind for the renewing is simply this. God's truth about you versus Satan's lies to you. I'll say it again. The battle in our mind, God's truth about you versus Satan's lies to you. But take honest inventory right now. How is your thought life? How is it at 3 o'clock in the morning? How is it at 2 o'clock in the morning? How is it when you check email? How is it when you check your bank account? At least we got one honest person. I'm with you, Joyce. I'm with you. Okay? A lot of times before I check mine, I'm like, God, I just want you to, I'm going to think this. You can take one life that's down the drain. He can take a million and make it a penny. Because I believe my life is headed in the direction of the strongest thought. What's your thought life really like? What about this? What if others knew what you thought? Not just when, I'm not talking about just when you know you're upset. What if others knew your thought life when you're just being, just hanging out, just doing things? See, we don't take inventory of that very often. I remember an old episode. This some of you are just going to be out of the loop for just a moment. Old Twilight Zone TV show. And there was an episode where a guy had been given the gift of knowing other people's thoughts. But he worked in a bank. And one of the other guys in the bank didn't know he could read minds. And the guy who worked in the bank had spent days planning a robbery. And so the guy that knew the mind told his bosses, that guy's been planning a robbery. His boss said, how do you know? Because I can read his mind. How hard it is to prove to your boss that you can read somebody else's mind. Because the guy denied it. But God knows your mind. God knows your thoughts, but He also knows your process of thinking. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Truth is, the renewing of your mind is a lifelong process. That's why I'm telling you today, it doesn't matter to me where you are in life. It doesn't matter how old you are, your gender. It doesn't matter where you're going. It's a lifelong process. When Paul wrote this to the Church of Rome, he was saying, look, this isn't a one-time deal. You have to learn how to do this. As a matter of fact, you can ask, well, anybody that's in any kind of group I'm in, is this. I think we believed a lie. And here's the lie. We didn't have to work for salvation. That's the truth. But here's the lie. But we don't have to work for anything else. That's the lie. Free gift of salvation through grace, not by works, so that no man can boast. Amen. But after that, that is real work. That is real honesty. That says I have to take inventory every day throughout the day. What am I really thinking? What am I thinking about myself, about God? What am I thinking about others? Thoughts are powerful. In fact, I'll give you this as a thought. The lives you and I believe are the nails that we build a prison that we lock ourselves in. I'll say it again. The lies that we believe are the nails that we build a prison to lock ourselves in. Moving out of, if I only could, but God really can't. Take inventory. Be honest with yourself today. Number two, it's going to take some honesty now. Which thoughts do you struggle with the most? It says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. No. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we do what? We take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, I know that probably some of the Bible scholars could probably excuse that take every thought. I can take a thought here. I can take a thought there. I can take a thought when I'm in a good mood. I can take a thought when I got to do what I want to. I can take a thought when I'm being treated well. I can take a thought when I have enough of whatever. But God says in His Word, through the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, take every thought captive. That's real work. That's real work. But if you take inventory of your thought life and realize what it's doing to you physically, what it's doing to you emotionally, then I think it's worth the effort. Because a stronghold is a wrong mindset, which is a wrong pathway, which is a wrong action. In fact, I'll give you this little description that I stole from someone else. A toehold leads to a foothold that leads to a stronghold that leads to a stranglehold. All it takes is a little bit. And before you know it, you're wrapped up and you can't move. This takes real work. Which thought or thoughts do you struggle with the most? Be honest with yourself now. Which one is it? Because part of this is your identity and my identity in Christ is at stake. Who we are in Christ is always under attack. Our identity, who we are in Him. Which thought do you struggle with the most? How can you have a godly impact in your world if you believe Satan's lies about yourself? How satisfied are you with your thought life today? How satisfied with you are your actions that are coming out of your thought life today? Or maybe your lack of action today? Every once in a while, I'm going to sprinkle in a little science for you. If you don't understand it, you can ask Allie Gladden because she's going to be a middle school science teacher. Okay? Toxic thinking is emotionally draining. That's not Dane's words. That's proven in science. Toxic thinking is emotionally draining. So I told you earlier, I said we live in the most depressed, anxious culture the world's probably ever known. Do you know what's a fruit of anxiety? How about tiredness? How about being so weary that we're not capable of that? So let me ask you this question. Evil can't steal your salvation, but he sure can twist your tail. And if he can get you tired, if he can get you weary, and if he can start believing, you can start believing those lies he's throwing at us because you're too tired and you're too weary to capture the thoughts, then he's got you twisting your tail and he has rendered you ineffective for the gospel. He's rendered you ineffective for the kingdom of God. So let's remember something. If you're paralyzed because of your thought life, and when I mean paralyzed, I literally mean that for some of you. I literally believe there are some of us that struggle so much with the renewing of our mind that we stay inactive. Our prison looks like this. Here's what our prison looks like. I gave it my best shot. I did all I could. I reached a certain point in my life and I said that was enough. Those are thoughts that have to be captured. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's really, really not. Although we see the flesh and blood, are we willing to do the work to change a mindset? Our thoughts tend to be lazy. That's true. That's not Dane's opinion. That's true. Backed up by science. By the way, it's non-Christians doing the science research, which I like. Okay? Our way of thinking tends to go down the toilet before it looks up. Okay? So when you're thinking about this second point this morning, which thoughts do you struggle with the most? Which ones are they? How can we have a godly impact on this world if we're continuing to struggle with the same old, negative, ungodly thought patterns that are just wearing us out, just wearing us down? So what are we going to do about renewing our mind? Well, I think we can do some things. But you know one thing's interesting about that? If you want to know how powerful this is, I'll give you a secular example. I think most of you probably know who Michael Phelps is. He can swim a little bit, okay? He's probably one of the few human beings that's a faster swimmer than Priscilla, okay? You have no idea how fast Priscilla is at swimming. You really don't, okay? She is awesome. Michael Phelps started swimming at age 12. His coach is named Bob Bowman. His coach, by the way, Michael Phelps is one of the only few successful swimmers Bob Bowman's ever coached at that level. But Bob Bowman did something with Michael Phelps to begin at age 12 that's very interesting. I think it has some godly principles. We'll track with me. Think with me, okay? He did something with Michael. He knew Michael was struggling with something. Michael was struggling with a lie of, am I good enough? You ever struggled with that lie before? Maybe you're struggling with it this morning. Maybe it's where you live. Am I really good enough? But he took Michael and he said, here's what we're going to do, Michael. Every time you get ready for a meet you're going to do the exact same routine. I'm not talking about the routine that when he stands on the stand, they fire the gun. Mm-mm, I'm not talking about that. Michael eats the same thing. Michael gets dressed the exact same way. Michael listens to the same music. Michael warms up the exact same way down to this detail. You listening carefully? Okay? When you see Michael Phelps stand on the starter's block, which he doesn't swim competitively anymore, but when he used to stand on the starter's block and you would see him warm up, whatever ear he put his earbud in first, that was the same ear he put his earbud in every single time. If he began with his right hand stretching it, it was every time. You know what that did to Michael Phelps? That thought he wasn't good enough, didn't think. By the time the starter gun went off, which by the way, Michael was a great swimmer at an early age, not just in the Olympics. By the time Michael, the gun went off to swim, he'd already had hundreds from that morning on of wins. So his thought process was this. When the gun goes off, the only thing I'm expecting next is a win. Because Bob Bowman realized early on that he struggled with worth, value, he struggled with lies. But they're not believers. So he had to build in a secular way of saying, I got to change your thinking to simply expect success. So back to which thoughts do you struggle with the most? Do your thoughts tend to go towards success or failure? Something to think about today. Remember I told you this isn't standalone. We're building. So let's look at a beginning of a practical way to renew your mind. Number three, use a truth to defeat a lie. Paul had to tell his young boy named Timothy, for God has not given you, Timothy, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know how that hits you today, but I want you to process that for a moment. What are you going to use to defeat a lie in your mind as you capture it? How about a truth? But I think one of these things that comes away is this. You are not weak and helpless. You are not a victim. So I'd encourage you, if you have some of those lies today, I'd encourage you to begin stomping them out. I'm not telling you this is one and done. Truth is, it's not. Let me just be honest with you. It's not one and done. If these lies are entrenched in your mind, it's going to be a real work. It's going to be a real battle, and you're going to need a lot of other people. You need real prayer. You need real people to talk to be honest and truthful with you. Okay? And I'm going to say that a lot, over and over. You are not weak. You are not a failure. The truth is, you're more than a conqueror. You're a child of the King. You are loved no matter what. Find a truth and latch onto it. God has brought me to a craziest truth about 2 months ago. There's a book in the Bible that some of you may not know exists. It's called either Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. It's a very romantic book. It really is. I even read it and kind of blush. Because, I mean, the things they're talking about in the Bible, I can't believe they put that in the Word of God. I don't need to know what that deer looked like to that guy. Okay? All right? Now some of you are intrigued, like, I got to go read that. But he brought me to Song of Solomon 6:3. You ready? Here's my truth that I'm trying to capture a thought to not believe a lie. Song of Solomon 6:3 says this, I am my beloved's and he is mine. A different version. My beloved loves me and I love him. I say it over and over and over and over. Some days you just got to know, does somebody love you? More than the people that are obligated. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. What if you begin to do this morning that you're going to stomp out and say, look, I know I've struggled with A, B, C, and D, but A and B seem to be at the top of the account. I think today I'm going to start to shift things and walk in truth. And Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. You know what that tells me amongst many things, but one thing I think we can take away today is this. God, I'm working for an eternal kingdom because I serve an eternal God and those works I am committing to you and I want my thought life to reflect that I'm working that way. And one of the struggles I think for most of us when it comes to our thought life is something simple like this. You live life in routine. Bad days not that bad, good days not that good, maybe a kid gets sick, maybe there's a flat tire, maybe your son calls you and he's way down the road and he says, Dad, how many more miles can your car get with when the light comes on for gas because I'm out on the interstate? Cameron did that to us last week. I said, well, son, I really don't know. I've never tested. He says, well, we're getting ready to find out. But you know what? I think his thought life was faith and mine was failure. But also in between those thoughts, now remember, I get to be honest with you, okay? I'm going to kill him. Because I admit, Because you know what he wanted? He wanted Kathy and I to look on a map and tell him where the closest gas station was. So my first words were, "What were you thinking?" And you know what his reply was? You ready? Parents, you should have heard this a lot. "I thought I could. I thought I could make it." Praise God he did, or we might be childless today. You see, I don't think for most of us, using a truth to defeat a lie, I didn't tell you something new today. But I want to know how engaged you are in that being a truth. Are you willing to acknowledge today that not all your thoughts are pleasing and honoring to God? Because as soon as you think something like, "I can't, I won't, it couldn't," then you're saying God can't, He won't, and He wouldn't. And the only thing He won't do is sin. The only thing He won't do is stop loving you. He's always after you, and He does love you. So commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. I think most of you are familiar with Joyce Meyer. Okay, she's written a couple of books. Okay, Joyce is in her 70s now, and if you ever see her speak today, let me tell you something, that chick has some energy. Okay, but you know what a lot of people don't know about Joyce Meyer? Joyce Meyer's mom remarried when she was a child, when she was a kid. She got older, her stepdad decided she was an easy target, so he sexually abused her every week until she was about 18 years old. Joyce tells the story that he was such... boy, there's some good words to use. I guess we can't use them, can we? He was such a control freak. The family got up when he got up. They went to bed when he went to bed. They ate what he ate. They watched on TV what he wanted to watch on TV. All Joyce Meyer knew growing up was this man that abused her physically, emotionally, and mentally. Now, who are we talking about today? Joyce Meyer. I think she wrote a little book, something about Battlefield of the Mind or some little book that kind of got popular. When Joyce Meyer got out from under the evilness of this man, you know what she did for a whole year? She meditated on God's word about the scriptures that said God is a good father. That's real work. That's realizing a truth that he was human. I'll put the work in because he's worth it. He's worth it to think about. He's worth it to think about the truth. He's worth it. I give you another thought today. Use the truth to defeat a lie. Take responsibility and be self-aware. Don't overthink this, because from here till the time either Jesus comes back or you go to him if you're a follower of Christ, this is the world we live in. I told you earlier, we don't get to shut the thoughts off. Garbage in is garbage out. We struggle with focus in our culture, don't we? Someone should say, "Huh? Just ask Kathy. How many times she tells me, 'You need your hearing check.' I'm not going to see you, Logan. I don't care. I'm not going to see you." Logan sells hearing aids. I want to stir the possibility that your mind is capable of being renewed, that you can understand the Word of God. You can understand the will of God. You can hear the voice of God. You can receive the love of God. You can experience the presence of God. You really can. But if your thought life is in the toilet, it's tough. I know it's tough. I am my beloved's and He is mine. Are you wary? Have you identified some thoughts? I tell you, we're going to come back. Some of this, by the way, the next few weeks, it's going to seem like I'm being redundant because I'm being redundant, but I want to build off of it. Okay? So we take inventory. We look at the thoughts that we struggle with. And then we find a truth to defeat a lie. And God's words are full of truths to defeat lies. So I'm going to begin to pray for us this morning. You have your cards. Dusty and Rick will come up. I'll be up front to pray with you. But I'm encouraging you today to embrace God's renewal of your mind. For as he thinks in his heart, so is. Well, we know that we can't do it by ourselves because we're not built to do it by ourselves. We are built to be in a loving relationship. And God, I don't know where each one of us should start today other than this. Let's look to you. Let's trust you. Let's embrace you. Let's want you to do a renewal, to not live a life that says, "I'm going to live under a lie God's not finished until He says He's finished. And He's not finished. I'm declaring that as a truth today. He's not finished with any one of us in this room. He is not finished with you. He still has good works for you. He is not finished. Some of you need to say it to yourself over and over. He is not finished. He still has good works for me. I still have something to offer Him. I still have my gifts, my talents, my resources. I am my beloved and He is mine. Our altar will be open. James will be playing some music for us. I encourage you to fill out your cards, your envelopes. Just process some of this with God. Think about how you're thinking now. Give some thought to the thought. In Jesus' name, amen. You look this way for just a moment. I did want to give you a praise report. Kathy, someone was crazy enough to hire Kathy. She has a job now. And it's not remodeling. She's not going to be on HGTV remodeling homes. We're not flipping homes or any of that kind of good stuff. So anyway, but I do thank you for your prayers. I do praise God for that. You know, one of the things is the moment Kathy lost her job, I remember declaring this, God is good, period. God is good, period. That cannot change and it will not change. God, we thank you that you are good. And God, I know today, God, direct our thoughts to you. But God, direct our energy in praising you and in worshiping you and in honoring you. God, we are not bottom feeders. God, we sit at the table with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for many, many, many blessings. May they honor you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank you. We're done.